Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you listening today can't come to Rancho Cucamonga. What a beautiful place it is. But you can always join us online at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat, you can pray, you can worship, you can grow in grace. It is our prayer here at the Seed that we all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith into our world. We've been doing a series on hope, and this week we're going to look at persevering hope. Our passage will come from Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to Romans 5. We're in our fourth week, I believe, of looking at hope. The first week, we looked at the foundation of hope. The second week, we found a living hope. And last week, we studied about a saving hope. Today, we will turn to Paul's letter in Romans and find a persevering hope. Before we turn to God's word, let us come to the door of hope and seek God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, we come to you today to be renewed, restored, and filled with hope. Our lives often feel wandering in this world. Let us come and be grounded in your living words of hope. Amen. Romans 5, 1 through 11. Listen for God's word for you today. Put yourself in the story and put the story in you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that our suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Wow, those are some wonderful verses, Romans 5, 1 through 11. I would encourage you to open your Bible, read those verses, read them slowly, and maybe just stop and start praying over one of the verses or one of the words. I want the Holy Spirit to show you the hope that we have and the reconciliation that we have in Christ. When we come to this passage in Romans, we come to one of Paul's great words, therefore. What Paul is doing when he writes therefore, he is connecting all that has been said before and written about in the first four chapters of Romans to point a connection in chapter 5. Paul has written that we have been saved by grace and that the saving work belongs totally in Christ's hands. Paul now comes up with a great theological concept called justification. Justified, a way, good way to remember justified, just as if I've never sinned. Justified, just as if I've never sinned. Justification. We're going to talk about that for a moment. Paul is saying that since we have been justified, since we have been made just as we've never sinned, we now have peace with God. I don't know who's listening today, but I know someone needs to have some peace with God. When you turn your heart to Christ and we become justified, it's as if we've never sinned. We have a peace with God. Have you ever wondered why people go to great lengths and expense to find peace? I went to Google and typed in, how do I find peace? Do you know that 36,600,000 results popped up in 58 seconds? Titles like Four-Step Guide to Finding Inner Peace. Another title, How Do You Find Inner Peace? Another title, 15 Things You Can Start Today. Then there was a Tiny Buddha. There was an Eckhart Tolle, Lifestyle, New York Times, and WikiHow. All were consulted. Wow. St. Augustine, an early church father, wrote these words, "You made us for yourselves, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you." St. Augustine, he said that, "You made us for yourselves, and our hearts find no peace until they rest in you." This is exactly what Paul is teaching us today. We have peace with God, and that peace gives us access into God's grace. On Wednesday nights at our church, we have a program. It's a Bible study we call Get a Life. You get a life by studying God's Word. It's our life group. We have been studying different books. We've studied the book of Genesis lately in the opening chapters of Genesis. We're told that Adam and Eve sinned by doing the one thing that God had asked them not to do. Consequently, they are kicked out of the garden. God kicked Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and put an angel with a flaming sword there to protect the entrance. In the Old Testament temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, and only once a year could a priest enter the Holy of Holies and offer up sacrifices for the people of Israel. Do you get the picture? Only once a year could a priest enter the access of the Holy of Holies. If you weren't in the priestly line, you would never have a chance to access God. You know that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain of the Holy of Holies was torn in two and the access to God was opened? This is exactly what Paul is talking about. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we have access to the throne of God, not once a year, but any day and every day of any year. Friends, that is peace and access. I love the thought we can stand in grace. When we stand in grace, we have access to the Holy of Holies. To stand in grace is to stand in peace. Paul goes on to tell us that because we have this peace and access, we can also have joy. The word Paul uses for rejoice is a wonderful word. It's that is a present passive verb that means that the action of rejoicing is to speak loudly, behave with loud tongues and boasting, proclaim publicly and ostentatiously, or just rejoice. This action of rejoicing continues forever. If we know that we have peace with God and that we have access to God at any time, any place, anywhere, our voices should be filled with loud rejoicing all the time. This rejoicing fills us with a hope of the glory of God. The glory of God brings to the reader's mind the kabod, or the glory of God that filled the temple. The Greek word for glory used here is doke, D-O-K-E, doke, from which we get the word doxology. This glory fills us with hope, and we sing a doxology. So maybe a good so what question. What does hope mean to you? What does hope mean to you? Where do you need hope? What does hope mean to you? Hey, you can email me at PastorDave@theSeed Christian Fellowship and write me. What does hope mean to you? In the Bible, hope means certainty. And the only reason it is called hope rather than certainty is only that we do not possess what is hoped for yet, although we will possess it. Here are some examples of how hope is used in the New Testament in Acts 2, 26 and 27. My body also will live in hope because you will not abandon me to the grave. Wow. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. 2 Corinthians 1:7, and our hope for you is firm. Colossians 1:5, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Titus 1:2, hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Titus 2:13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19-20, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. 1 Peter 1:3. I love this one. God has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I'll send you these passages. You can just email me at PastorDave@theSeed Christian Fellowship, and I'll email you all these passages on hope. Who here needs hope? You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team at The Seed is praying, and we have a lot of prayer warriors. If you need prayer, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. We've had some answers, some wonderful answers to prayer recently, and we will pray for you. We'll pray that you'll have hope this season. Paul writes these words in Romans, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Verses 3 through 5 are deep and they're profound. We are left with peace, access, joy, hope, and standing in grace as we travel from suffering to perseverance to character and finally hope. Let me say that again. We are left with peace, access, joy, hope, and standing in grace as we travel from suffering, perseverance to character and finally hope. In these verses, what is the greatest word for you? Suffering, perseverance, character, hope. The Greek word for suffering is kilippos, and it literally means pressing something down. The Greek word for perseverance is hupomene, which can be translated endurance or patience or perseverance or living under. And the Greek word for character is dokimi, meaning dependable, reliable, proof, tested, or proven. And the Greek word for hope is elpis, and it means a confident expectation of the future. Wow. The Greek word for produces is katalasiti. This is a verb that is in this sentence, and the action of this verb is ongoing. The word literally means to prepare, to produce, like working the soil. What Paul is teaching us is that suffering produces hope. That's a radical concept, isn't it? Who wants to suffer? Suffering produces hope. That's a strange thought. For many of us, suffering produces despair. For others, suffering really does produce hope. I think of my friend who was buried a few weeks ago at the National Cemetery. As a pastor and a friend, I get the joy and suffering to go where not many people go. I had to talk to him about how he felt about his own upcoming death. He didn't even hesitate for a second. He said to me, Dave, if the worst thing that happens to me is that I get to go to be with Jesus, I consider myself blessed. My friend had stage 4 melanoma, which had metastasized throughout his body. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And it doesn't just do this once a year, but this hope is produced over and over and over again and again. My friend had hope even facing his own death. He had a rejoicing kind of hope. The truth is that most of us are waiting on a change in our circumstances in order to produce hope. But what Paul is teaching us is that we need a change in our perspective, not in our circumstances. We need a change in our perspective, not in our circumstances. Back in the 1940s and the 1950s, the Green Bay Packers, they were a terrible football team. For 11 years, they only won 28% of their games. That means that they lost over 70% of their games. In 1958, they had an embarrassing 1 win and 10 losses, the worst in Packer history. And on February 2nd, 1959, Vince Lombardi was hired as the head coach and leader of the team. That year, the Packers had the first winning season in more than 10 years. Rookie head coach Lombardi was called Coach of the Year. The next 9 years were winning seasons for the Green Bay Packers with 5 national championships and 2 Super Bowl championships. You have to ask, what happened? What took a team that was suffering defeat and discouragement for 11 years in a row and turned them into a championship team? Simple. One person arrived and brought with him a completely different perspective. Repeatedly in the Bible, we have stories of men and women who did the same thing. Nehemiah came to Jerusalem after Jerusalem stood destroyed and defeated for 92 years. He rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem in 52 days. David came to a giant by the name of Goliath who had taunted and defeated the Israelites for 40 straight days. David took 5 smooth stones and a slingshot and killed the giant. Daniel suffered a long night in a lion's den. He walked out untouched. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in the fiery furnace, and they lived to tell about it. Esther stood before her king and interceded for the people of Israel, and they were saved. Ruth lost her husband, her family, her home, and moved to a strange land, who became the great-grandmother of King David and stands in the lineage of the Messiah. Don Mark suffered so on his first missionary journey, Paul refused to take him on the second missionary journey. Mark writes one of the 4 Gospels. Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but 3 times, and yet was restored and given a hope that would never disappoint him. Listen to Paul's own words. He says it this way: I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and I have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my own concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. This is what Paul is reflecting on when he writes to the church in Rome, and he says suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. John Stott wrote a book called The Cross of Christ, a wonderful book. I'd encourage you to pick it up and read it, The Cross of Christ. God is well aware of what was the worst fears about God when we consider the suffering that surrounds us in this world. God says, quote, "The real sting of suffering is not misfortune itself, nor even the pain of it or the injustice of it, but the apparent God-forsakenness of it. Pain is endurable, but the seemingly indifference of God is not. Sometimes we picture him lounging, perhaps dozing in some celestial deck chair, while the hungry millions starve to death. It is this terrible caricature of God which the cross smashes to smithereens. We are not to envision him on a deck chair, but on a cross." So what? Let's wrap this up. Let's bring it home. During his presidency, Abraham Lincoln regularly attended worship services at New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. The pastor was Dr. Phineas Curley. Barry Kinney Bulwer relates how on one particular evening while walking home from church, an aide asked President Lincoln about Dr. Gurley's sermon. The president replied in fragmented phrases. The content was excellent. He delivered it with elegance. He had put work into the message. "Then you thought it was a great sermon?" asked the aide. "No," replied the president. "Dr. Gurley forgot the most important ingredient. He forgot to ask us to do something great." I don't want to be guilty of Dr. Gurley's mistake. I want us to do something great with this message. I want us to be able to go from suffering to hope. But in order for us to do that, we'll need to spend a few quiet moments reflecting on the passage. That's your so what. That's your homework for this week. Think about a time or a season where you were suffering. Write that down. Write down what it is that caused you to suffer. Then look back and see if your suffering has produced any perseverance. Did the thing that pressed you down produce any kind of patience, endurance, perseverance in you? I'm guessing it did. I'm guessing you learned how to live with whatever it was that was pressing you down. I'm guessing it has made you more compassionate with other people who have the same kind of suffering. Perseverance, character. After you've suffered and after this suffering has produced more patience in you, the next thing is for us to produce character. How did your suffering make you more reliable, dependable? Do you feel tested and proven for the good from the suffering? Wow. And finally, has your suffering given you hope? If not, hang in there because it will and it's worth waiting for. In 2012, I came down with a severe, painful rash. I suffered with that rash for the past 6 years. I admitted to it was a rash and probably chelation thing that made me better. I have so much more empathy and compassion for those who are hurting. I think my friend each day when I went to visit him as he was preparing to die, I brought him coffee. And on the way there, I think about what I could do or say that would give him hope. And after spending an hour or so with my friend, I'd drive home and I'd wonder how it is that I'm the one who is filled with hope. Well, I encourage you to stand in grace. I encourage you to stand in hope. Let us pray. Lord God, the word says that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And I pray for those that need hope and that they persevere in Jesus' name. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless. Have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.